All right, there's one other person I want to have special prayer for today. I wanted him to hear it. He's been hurt so long, and that's John Alvarado. John has suffered and suffered and suffered. And so I want to lift him up. I hope he hears this out there. Huh?
Oh, John.
John. You know, John's just struggled and gone and gone and gone. So, Lord, we lift him up to you. Let him know that this day your presence is so strong with him, and his name we lifted up, John, before the Lord. Touch him, Lord. Let him know that after all these long, long months, you're there. And make him stronger and stronger and stronger, and teach him all that you want to teach him through this and everyone connected with him. And we ask you to heal him and deliver him in Jesus' name, as well as all these others we've lifted up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today, it's titled this, The Shepherd. The Shepherd. Take some passages, one very familiar from the Old, another couple very familiar passages from John 10, but I'm going to read, and I wish I had time to do all this. I want to read it all. Can't do it. But I'll read the first three verses of Psalms 23. But it's from the NIV. So it's worded a little different than we're used to the older version. But you'll get it. And this is NIV. But the Lord is my shepherd. Does anybody just note that right there? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Other versions say the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. That's what you have up here. Read the rest of it. It's so beautiful, but for the sake of time, I need to tie in. We're going to come forward. Jesus brought this forward. And we need to read the scripture as a whole. And I've often said the best way to interpret scripture is to let scripture interpret scripture. And read the scripture, read the Bible as a whole, and you'll find so many meanings and so much interpretation. And instead of it's a bad practice, and a lot of people do it, is proof text. Just pull something out and use it to prove a point or fit into a particular topical message for the day. But here he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And he talks about the shepherd leading beside the waters, which is what a shepherd does. And then Jesus comes right back on top of this. And in John 10:10, well, John 10, verse 10 through 16, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now you note this. Here we come. We pull it forward and we put it in the new. The Lord is my shepherd. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. And they too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Did you get all this? The shepherd of the old comes now and Jesus says, I'm here. You prayed to me, the Lord is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he says, And they probably didn't catch it when he said this. They probably didn't even get what all he was saying. But here, he says this. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Who's he talking about? Yeah, the Gentiles. And so he was letting them know, even though they didn't get it and they couldn't handle it anyway. He said, I'm the good shepherd and I have you guys, but I've got others that are not part of this group and I'm bringing them in also. I'm sure glad he decided to do that, aren't you? Very happy about that. So this time of year, last week we talked about the shepherds. and how they were not desirable people at all. And yet the Lord appeared to them. And here, and let me finish this before I get carried away with this. And so he says then in verse 27, I added this to it. And read the whole thing. Please read the whole thing. Verse 27 through 29, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And he says, I and the Father are one. Great stuff. And I read a little further than what you had up here, but he said, you know, I'm the good shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. So the first point here is Jesus is your shepherd. And I look at this. Do you realize what he's saying? Last week, if you weren't here, it's okay. We talked about the bad reputation of shepherds. They were not allowed in any. They were, in other words, no city councils, no none. They weren't allowed anywhere. They couldn't even get in the temple. They were cast offs. They were dirty, considered thieves, and we know all. And the worthless people of society go out and tend the sheep and don't come near. Now, isn't it something? We don't mind eating those sheep, but we don't want you guys who take care of them to come in here. You know, that's hypocrisy in life. But the whole point here is this. In the Old Testament, David in the Psalms said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he goes through this whole litany of what God does as a shepherd. And then Jesus comes forward, and he says, I am the good shepherd. Do you realize, though, the position that he's put himself in? Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm not a thief. I don't rip people off. I don't sneak in and take what I can. But he said, nonetheless, I am a shepherd. I put myself in the position. And when he said this, you got to remember, we hear that and we kind of elevated the shepherds, and they look so great in the little Christmas scenes when you pass by. That's not the way they were looked at back then. And yet the angels appeared, and they're the first ones to hear that the Christ is born, and they go and see him, and they're the first to spread the news that the Christ, the Savior, has come into the world. But they're the refuse of society, and Jesus takes on that title of the refuse of society. He could have said, I'm the good godly servant. I'm the Christ leader. I'm the Savior. I'm this, I'm that. And he says, I'm a shepherd. And people despised shepherds, and Jesus calls himself the most despised title that he probably could come up with. I am right here, and I'm a shepherd. Yes, he qualified it saying, I am a good or wholesome shepherd, but I am a shepherd. Do you see the lowliness that he's put himself in so that he could save us? He didn't call himself the kingly servant, the one from above who's come to lead and to save. I am a shepherd. So those disciples, there's not a shepherd in the bunch. There's the fishermen and the tax collectors, and all these people, and they're looking at him. We don't get to see their faces when he said, I'm a shepherd, the good shepherd. It's like, you're what? We don't associate with those people. And Jesus said, yes, but I'm the good shepherd. And here's the tougher part. You ready for this? And you're sheep. You're nasty little sheep, and I'm the shepherd. Do you see what he's saying? I have come here to smell just like you. These sheep smell out there. You've been around sheep, right? Any of you? They don't smell good. Goats, to me, don't either, but neither sheep sure don't. And they get that old greasy wool stuff, grease from that wool all over you. Anyway. And yet Jesus says, I'm a shepherd, which is really a low position. This is how far he lowered himself to come and save us. Do you see this? And he said, you're the sheep. You're nasty, smelly little critters. And you don't use good sense all the time, because we've laughed about this in the past, but it's so true. Sheep, if one goes, they want to all go. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the highway, I-10, off the cliff. It doesn't matter. One jumps, they all jump. And look at us. Aren't we that way? I know we're all sitting here saying, no, not me. Not me. Not me. And maybe you're not. Maybe God has brought you along to be, so you're a real boss sheep. I don't know. But most of us as sheep, we get excited by what the other sheep do. The other sheep start panicking. As a matter of fact, if some sheep in another state say, this is the right covering for your wool this year, we all want to do that. Look at this. I don't tuck my shirt in anymore. You know why? Because some sheep somewhere said this is... Sheep don't tuck in their wool anymore. And like a sheep, I go along with it. Think about it. And we talk about these people, and they're being interviewed, and these kids at colleges and stuff, and they're full of hate, and they don't know why. They're sheep. They just buy anything they're told, they go anywhere they're led. And Jesus said, I'm a shepherd. I've come to get really dirty. I've come to get down here in one of the lowest positions that this society can ascribe to anybody. Why? Because I have dirty, smelly sheep out there. They do the dirtiest, smelliest things, don't we? You might be saying, not me. Let me ask you this. Have you just ever gotten really drunk? Then you did one of the dirtiest, smelliest things. And it's not the end when you get drunk. It's post-drunk that'll get you. Am I right? You ever sat down at a table and you couldn't stop eating? It's post-eating that bites you. That ice cream. Does anybody just have a problem with ice cream? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. And you go, as long as you're sitting down, it's fine. Get up, and I don't know what happens, and it just hits like a cinder block. And we have all this stuff we do to ourselves. And we just make ourselves all dirty and smelly. And so Christ says, I'm a good shepherd. I'm not here to rip you off. I'm not here to steal. I'm not here to do any mischief. I'm not here to harm anybody. But I am a shepherd that's willing to get dirt on himself. I'm willing to get down amongst people who do the silliest, worst, and most evil and sinful things. I'm going to walk in the midst of them and offer myself to them as a good shepherd, and all I'm asking them to do is follow me. Accept me as their shepherd and follow me. And I'll be dirty with you. And he was. Jesus was right there. He walked this earth. He did not associate, and we know this, but he didn't associate with anybody in any high positions. He didn't come and wear anything. He was right there as a good shepherd with dirty, smelly fishermen. Fishermen. You know, sheep fishermen, but fishermen. To me, you know, I've gone fishing many a time, and you get those little scales and stuff on you and the old slimy stuff off those fish. That smells. You know, and just leave it in the sun a little bit, and it has a nice, delicate aroma. The seagulls will avoid you after a while. And so there's Peter, and there's that whole crew, and his brother, and all of them. They're fishermen. They're smelly people by profession. And yet the good shepherd is there with those smelly sheep. And there's the tax collector, the most hated, despised human being. And as a matter of fact, his emotional smell was worse than those from the fishermen. Right? He stank before the Jewish people. And there's Jesus calling him to follow me. Friends, where do you fall in that category? Is there anybody here that hasn't blown it? Won't ask you to raise a hand. Is there anybody here that hadn't gone into sometime in their life, they're younger, and you did some drugs, smoked a few things you shouldn't, slept with a few people you knew you shouldn't have and you regret it to this day, drank some things that you shouldn't have, drank too much, got in fights, offended people, accused people that didn't deserve it, said things about others and gossiped about others so we could cover our own sins. I mean, this is what the human sheep do that Jesus came to walk amongst and to save. Think about it. And every single one of us are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're just dirty, sinful sheep, and yet, what does Jesus do? He comes and offers himself as our good shepherd. And he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the good shepherd came to do. And say, I'm going to take these dirty old smelly sheep and I'm going to lead them to green pastures and beside very quiet still waters. And I'm going to teach them all about me as a shepherd. I'll lead them as one of the most despised people in all of Israel. I'll lead these old filthy sheep to a place of paradise, to goodness. He feels what we feel. He knows what we know. He hurts when we hurt. He weeps when we weep, and he smiles when we smile. Jesus feels every pain. He knows when our joints ache, when our muscles cramp. He knows when our mind is just overloaded, and he knows when we just emotionally can't bear the burden anymore. Jesus knows. That's why he said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? You'll find rest for your soul. You can read, you know that passage. That's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. And no one can take us away from him. He cares for us. And he's a shepherd that keeps his promises, friends. And he keeps us in his presence. And he leads us and he guides us and he loves us. And he's always watching over us because we have such a tendency to stray. I don't know about you, but all my life I've had an adventurous spirit. I want to go do things that challenge. And to be honest with you, I don't do that so much now. But I used to like a risk and take a risk. And there's others of us in here like that. Why do you go ride those rides? Or, you go to down here and ride the Six Flags rides or whatever. And they're a thrill and all that, but you like the risk. You like being scared to death. Others of you like standing there taking pictures. People ask me many times, and Tony, why don't you don't ever go ride those things? I said, no, I don't. Ever since all the stuff I did in the military, I don't want to mess with that stuff anymore. And besides, some of the things you do, it's like, I don't need a ride to give me that thrill. I've had it a different way. But I used to do all that kind of stuff, and there's Jesus saying, come on back, son. Come on back. Come back. Isn't that what he's doing with you? Come, my loved one. Come, my little sheep. You're straying too far. You're getting involved with that situation. You're getting involved with that person. You're doing this. You're drinking that. You're smoking that. You're taking that. Come on back before you go off too far of the path here. Come on. I care for you. I'm always watching. Secondly, Jesus, your shepherd, he leads and guides you. The Lord meets your needs. He's here and he meets them. He says, my God, Paul in Philippians said, my God will meet all your needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that this day? You know what needs he's talking about? Needs. We think physical things mostly. What about your emotional needs? What about your financial needs? What about your mental needs? What about all those needs to be loved and be cared for? To be liked? To be significant? To be purposeful? He meets those needs. I've heard many messages on how Jesus will take care and he'll give you clothes and he'll give you food. What about the things in here that I need? What about the emptiness in my heart? What about the loneliness of life? What about the feelings of abandonment and desertion? When people have hurt you and stabbed you in the back, and the things you live with, and you're afraid to love, and you're afraid to let people in your life. What about those needs? That's the needs he's talking about. I'll come in there and I'll meet those needs that are so significant to your life. I'll reach in there with my loving hand and take the pain away as a good shepherd. I'll put spiritual ointment on that wound that's bleeding in your heart, where you've been hurt so bad, where that person left you for another person. That person did this. That person did that. You did that to yourself. Whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, come little sheep. I'm going to bring you back over here. I'm going to anoint your wounds. I'm going to put you by the fire. I'm going to warm you up. That spiritual fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to make you well. And his call to us is, as the sheep of his pasture, I'm the good shepherd. Come, let me care for you. And I'll lead you beside the still waters. And I'll put you on green grass. And I'll let you heal. That's what this is about. That's what Christmas is about. That's what this whole thing of Jesus coming to the world. He's our good shepherd. And he carries with him the ointment to heal our wounds, to minister to the brokenness of heart. Yes, he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those are the needs. And so many of us, we got food and clothing, we got stuff to eat, but in here we're starving to death for affection. To just be significant. And he reaches in there and says, you're the most significant person in the world. If take all these others away and I would have died just for you, that's how significant you are. And just let me, and I'll heal your brokenness, and I'll give you purpose, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these he'll do, because I go to the Father. And Jesus is saying to you, little sheep, you, I'll do these works through you. I'll give you such purpose that you'll sit up at night going, can't believe the miracles of the day. And those of you who've lost your joy, your good shepherd is saying to you, I tell you these things so that you be filled with my joy. That's right in John 15. You can read it yourself. He'll give you your joy. He'll restore it. He'll heal your soul, your heart, and your mind. He'll convict you of your sin. And he'll lead you to confess it. And he'll forgive you. And he'll cleanse you. If we confess our sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a powerful Christmas message from our good shepherd? He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything. And then Jesus, your shepherd, restores you. He'll restore your soul. He'll give peace to your heart. And he'll give you freedom from bad thoughts. Some of you this morning are probably plagued with some bad thoughts. Things just jump into your mind. They're not nice. You ever have that? Struggle with it? Suddenly you're angry. Suddenly you're hurt. Suddenly you're confused. You're frustrated. Suddenly you're thinking, can I really be saved to think these kind of thoughts? Ah, little sheep. Sheep do everything imaginable. Just remember this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to everybody. And God is faithful and will with the temptation provide a way of escape so you can endure it. What is he saying? That's in Corinthians. He said, nothing is tempting you. Nothing's coming into your mind that we all don't have. You might be saying, really? You think others have thoughts like this? We have thoughts of murder. We have thoughts of lust. We have thoughts of just vindictiveness, bitterness. Hoping somebody will be hurt. I want to get even with them one of these days. I hope something falls on them, hits them, hurts them. We all do that. But let's get more serious. We even have thoughts of, I hope something falls on me. I was reading a book, and I was reading some of it last night, and this young midshipman, back in the old days when midshipmen weren't plebes and weren't cadets at the academy, they put these 17-year-old kids, some of them 16-year-old, on board these old wooden sailing ships during the times of the Napoleonic Wars. The British did that, and they called them midshipmen. They had the rank basically of a warrant officer, but everybody had to call him sir, even though they didn't know one end from the other. And this one young midshipman in particular was, you know, there was a big battle, and his captain was a good captain there, firing cannons broadside. Anyway, his captain captured several ships, smaller ships, but he captured them. And he didn't have enough officers to go around. See, they'd man these ships, and the captain that got these ships and didn't sink them, he got prize money for them. When he got them back to England, he got paid for those ships. So, you know, an aggressive captain, let's go get them. Well, he didn't have any more officers, so he put this young midshipman on there, and he said, you're now the captain of this schooner. Get her to England. Well, during the battle, one of the British cannonballs had hit the side of that ship. Put a hole in it, just when it went down in the water, you know, it was up, it was clear, but went down, water came in. So the young midshipman was on there, and he had four experienced guys sent with him, and he's supposed to take this whole crew with the captured captain and the crew, the French crew of this ship, back to England. And just think of the stuff that happens to people. I was fascinated with the story. And he's going along, and one of his guys, Matthews, comes up to him, and he says, sir, this ship's just not handling quite right. She's acting sluggish. She's not sailing before the wind, and blah, blah. And he said, maybe we better sound the hold. Sound the hold means we go down there and drop a cable and see if there's water in the bottom of the ship. They couldn't find any. They said, this thing's great. That cannonball must not have knocked a hole like that. They went on. The ship got worse. Started sinking a little bit. Settling in the water. What they found out, and this poor, young, inexperienced midshipman didn't even, well, would you think of this? That schooner was loaded and packed with rice. That water was pouring in, but that rice was soaking it up. That's why they couldn't find water in the hold. But the rice was swelling and getting heavier and heavier and sinking his little ship, his first command. So the you know, not to drag this story out, but the end of the story is this. They tried to get the rice out, but most of it was so swollen it was in bags, it couldn't get it out. So they had to abandon ship and all get in the jolly boats. They called them boats to cast away at sea. And they watched. He watched his first command go into the water. You know what he wanted to do? He said, I wish there was a way right now I could get out of this boat and kill myself. Those thoughts were in there, and I appreciate. Listen, friends, how many of you have ever been entrusted with something and you blew it? And you just wished you could die? Whether it was a marriage or money or friendship or something in business, something in church. And you just sank it. Your fault, their fault, nobody's fault. You ever been there and wanted to die? Be honest with yourself. You ever just wish God would take you? Or that something would happen to you? Well, you're not alone. And your good shepherd knows your thoughts. And he gives peace to your heart and freedom from these bad thoughts. And he's the only one that can come into your life when you're in a desperate place like that. And I read that and I was smiling at him. I was 17 years old. He's never had a command. He doesn't. At the same time, though, he was going to be held responsible for losing that ship and not being wise enough to know there's rice on there. Any of you ever been in that situation where you just blew your trust? Maybe you didn't even know better, but you really sank the ship. And God, your good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is standing here saying, come on, let me restore your soul. Don't do yourself in. Don't drink a bunch of stuff. Don't take some things. Don't smoke some stuff. All you need is me, and I'll give you peace to your heart and freedom from those bad thoughts. And I'll give you recovery time. And I'll give you spiritual and physical, emotional renewal. I will come to you, and I'll heal you. And I will let you know that the sun will come up tomorrow. There will be another day. You will get another chance, and another chance, and another chance. That's our good shepherd. When we, his sheep, wander off, when we really blow it, when we walk out there and we do something stupid and the wolf of life just starts tearing us to shreds, there's our good shepherd. He comes running. Jesus is there with his staff, and he beats that wolf off, the devil, and he brings us in, and he bandages us up, and his spirit begins to work in our hearts, and he puts on salve and comfort and the anointing oil of his Holy Spirit to make us well and whole, and through it teach us wisdom, smartness, discernment. And so I close with this. Jesus, your shepherd, keeps you on the straight path. He talks about the straight and narrow path, you know, and he keeps you on the path of righteousness. And little sheep, when you stray away, he will bring you back to the path. Sometimes he will let us wander from the path so that we learn wisdom. So we learn not to go off the path. So that we learn that the grass is not greener out there where we thought it was. And like sheep, we wander on our own, and God will move away, and we get disobedient, and we get upset, and we try to justify our actions and our words and our thoughts. And Jesus is just standing there saying, there comes a time you're going to stumble. You're going to get your eyes off of me. You're going to wander off, little sheep, and the wolf's going to hurt you. But I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll come running. And what's he going to do? He said, I'm going to call you by name, and I'm going to remind you. No one can take you out of my hand. You may wander off, but you're still mine. And I'll come searching. I'll beat that devil off, and I'll rescue you. And I'll put you beside the still waters with the green grass. And I'll feed you from my spirit. And I'll heal your wounded heart and soul. And I'll bring you back. The shepherd. Father, we thank you for your word and the power of it. And thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.